TheTalkRadio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is your favorite knockout, Tara.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
This is WWE Superstar The Miz.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rant, and you're listening to the greatest rant.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
Bada boom! Realest guys in a room. How you know?
It can be anyone but you, man. Anyone but you. Until the rest of the world, say your prayers. Lock your doors. The family has returned. Run.
With your host,
Dear Kitty, Kitty, Kitty. Yeah, kitty.
You forgot to say please.
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
My boobs are real.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
Bad things happen to bad people. And good things happen to good people. Good people like me. All you have to do is believe!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MVG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. I am your host, Lindsay Ward, and joining me, as always, is my ever-faithful producer/co-host/handyman, Sir Rockin.
I am here. We are live along the airways of the Wild Talk Radio Network. You can follow us on Twitter, join in the conversation at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lynn's Ward, or just come on over to WildTalkRadio.com or RackRadioShow.com. Join our live interactive chat room and join in on the fun, because we got some fun to talk about tonight.
We do. We have a lot to get into. We have news. We have NXT. We have Tweet of the Week. We have Hell in a Cell. And, well, we have a very special guest joining us later in the show. That's right. The author of Undertaker 25 Years of Destruction, Mr. Kevin Sullivan, will be joining us at the end of the show to tell us all about his brand new book. And also, we talk a little current events in WWE and give him the chance to gloat because, well, he guessed something right. So, you know,
he did. We got to give him the option to gloat.
So we will definitely have some fun with that.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of fun with that. We're going to have a lot of fun with Hell in a Cell and so much more. But let's get into the news, I have to say. And there's football going on. What about
yes, there is football. For those of you that are interested, it is 17-0 Seattle in the third quarter. San Francisco is getting their butt kicked right now.
Are we really surprised?
Kind of.
But San Francisco sucks this year.
I know they suck this year. I was kind of hoping they'd be a little bit better.
I think a lot of people did, but they're not. And Seattle, well, they're actually Seattle and San Fran have the same record coming in tonight. How scary.
And Seattle is the defending Super Bowl champs, are they?
No, remember, they couldn't get 1 yard.
Oh, that's right.
The Deflators are your champions.
Ah, that's right. My bad. I forgot about that.
Because they couldn't get 1 yard.
Because they couldn't get 1 yard.
Yeah, we'll reference that later in Tweet of the Week.
Okay. Oh, God. You're not taking shots, are you?
What? No. Why would
Do
I
have... need to tell Brent to gird his loins now?
No, I was talking about a shot about the 1 yard thing. I wasn't talking about the Cowboys.
Okay.
I don't think I have anything about the Cowboys this week. They didn't do anything this week because they were on a bye. So can't really take a shot at a team who's not doing anything. By the way, Eagles first place, Cowboys not. Ha ha.
There's your shot. You feel better?
There's the shot. I wasn't even going there. I was referencing Seattle.
Yeah, I know, but do you feel better?
Yeah, I kind of do.
Okay, just making sure.
Gotta get it right in there for now.
Yeah, you know, just poke it right in.
Well, he was loading early in the season.
Yeah, yeah, I know he was.
He jumped the boat on gloating, I'm just saying.
Well, at least he didn't get a tattoo.
Like, there's some people out there that got tattoos, I think, even for the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
Where it said 20, but they never put the year, the final year in there. So it's like, you still got a chance. You still got a chance.
At least those people were smart that they didn't put the year or any type of identifier in there. So it's like,
it could happen in the next 75 years. You'll be good.
Yeah. If it could happen in your lifetime, you're good.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right. I say we do the news. Enough about ball and baseball.
For the moment.
For the moment. And we jump right into the news brought to you by PWMania.com and TNAsylum.net. And we have to talk about some of the biggest news of the week, which is going to directly impact Hell in a Cell. And that is the fact that Randy Orton is injured. He dislocated his shoulder, not by wrestling, not by doing anything stupid, but by taking out the trash.
Oh,
you
man.
Know they were thrilled when they heard that. He RKO'd that trash out of nowhere.
Somebody called Duke the Dumpster. They have a role for him now.
They have a role for him now. Oh, God. But yeah, Randy.
I read that today on Fox Sports. It was like, via taking out the garbage. Okay? That's new. I mean, I've heard some ridiculous things about people throwing out their packs and everything in baseball and football. The weird ways they get hurt. But taking out the garbage. What were you throwing away, Randy? What were you throwing away?
I think that's a question best left unanswered, because I don't want to know.
He was disposing of bodies? I mean, that's the only thing I could think of that would make it that heavy where you throw out your shoulder.
Well, it could be he lost control of the can. It could be any number of things. I think Randy's shoulder's fairly sensitive anyway, since he's broken his collarbone a couple times. So I think he does have problems with it, but they've been able to sort of wean it along, and then now it's all of a sudden he just threw it out of whack. I don't think he's going to have surgery, but I believe that's undecided at this point. Or have they announced that he needs surgery? Do you know if he needs surgery?
No, he doesn't. They have not determined, because he went for an MRI, so they're waiting for results.
Ah, so we're waiting for results on the MRI to determine if Randy Orton will, you know, how long he's going to be out. But he's definitely missing Sunday, which impacts his match with Dean Ambrose and the Wyatt family. So as of this point, there is no match scheduled for Dean Ambrose and the Wyatts.
No, that match has been pulled.
However, that could open up for possibilities for John Cena, but we'll see how that goes. But yeah, so sorry to hear Randy Orton's hurt. That sucks for everybody involved in the match.
Yeah, it does. It does. But everyone, here, guys, you're upset that Dean Ambrose and Randy Orton were on the pre-show. Now they're not even on the show.
Right?
Just wanted to point that one out, because you saw a lot of comments on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr about, can't believe they're on the pre-show. Well, they're not even on the show now. Dean Ambrose goes from main event to not even on the show.
Yep.
Oh, shucks. So, we'll see what happens. But no, it sucks for Randy Orton, because this is a bad time, because they were going to be really leaning on Randy Orton with John Cena taking time off. So now the two top baby faces from the last decade, or top two stars from the last decade, are going to be gone for a little bit of time.
And with no Daniel Bryan, that means somebody's going to have to step up.
Which it looks like they're going to be leaning on Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns for that, at the very least.
I'm okay with this. I'm completely okay with this. If Dean Ambrose gets a push out of it, I'm okay with it. I think a lot of people, other people are as well. But speaking of the Wyatts, speaking of Sunday, there was another development as of Monday, and that was, where in the world is Luke Harper? If you watch Raw on Monday, we were treated with the returning Eric Rowan, which made me very, very happy, but a missing Luke Harper. As everybody knows, he was working the events in Mexico alongside Braun Strowman as they took on Taker and Kane in those matches. However, when it came to Monday, Luke was not there. It has since come out Luke had personal family issues come up that he had to go take care of. So he was not at Raw. He was not at SmackDown. They brought Eric Rowan back early to sub for Luke.
Right, because they had the Shield versus Wyatt's book.
And so they needed somebody to take Luke's spot, which works for everybody in terms of Eric. He's not out of the Wyatt family. He doesn't seem to be any heat on him for the alleged picture that Jericho tweeted out, or I shouldn't say alleged, it actually happened, of the Luke Harper fan club.
Alright, before we go on, we gotta talk about the Luke Harper fan club.
That's
amazing.
That's so amazing! I heart the Luke Harper fan club, especially Luke in a towel. Like, they just they went out, they yanked him out of the shower.
This is where I can't say what I said to you on Saturday.
No, you can't say what you said to me at 2 o'clock in the morning and mess with my head, because you're a jerk like that. But yeah, basically they went and yanked Luke Harper out of the shower. gave him a towel, put him in a t-shirt, and him and Bray Wyatt and Roman Reigns and Sheamus and Cesaro and a bunch of other people all got together and took a picture in Luke Harper t-shirts, and Jericho put it up online, anointing it the first ever Luke Harper fan club. He looks so happy in the picture, though.
He does. And now, sitting back here thinking about it, now I realize why they pulled it. It wasn't because they were in the t-shirts.
Is it because Bray and Roman are in the same picture?
No.
Luke Harper doesn't have pants on?
No. It was because one of the matadors was giving the finger.
Oh, that's right.
I don't think they wanted to call me crazy, but I think that's probably what got it pulled, was the finger.
Probably.
Because you see, they put pictures of wrestlers in towels all the time. Hell, you want to talk football? Apparently on the NFL Network on Sunday, but they were doing a live shot in the Bengals locker room. Well, you saw a bunch of naked football players.
Where the hell was I when this happened?
Oh, you didn't hear about that story?
I did not hear about the story. Where the hell was I when this happened?
I don't know, but they were interviewing Pac-Man Jones of TNA fame. Yes, we're doing that. Tying reference. Hey, TNAsound.net, the haven for TNA fans. You're tying.
Ding.
They were doing an interview with him, and you just see there's a video of the guys changing. And this was live, so their bare asses were seen to the entire world.
Was one of them Andy Dalton?
I do not think so.
Okay. I don't have to go find it then.
But yeah, this was a thing that happened on the internet that went viral on the internet. Dudes' asses all over the place. There's censored versions, and apparently there are full-on versions of it. But it happened on live TV. So I don't...
Sorry. Yeah, that would make sense that the picture got pulled because one of the matadors is giving the finger, although that probably could have been blurred out and reposted. Why he's giving the finger in the picture, I don't know.
I don't know, because he's a matador, he can do whatever he wants. I don't know.
Well, I can't tell if it's he's telling WWE to F off. I can't tell why he's doing it. It's obviously intentional.
Oh yeah, it was clearly intentional.
But Bray's doing his best Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, he was.
And then being the loyal brother that he is to Luke Harper, he wrestled in the shirt that night.
He did.
Which was amazing.
Which was, and yeah, you said Bray was doing Shawn Michaels, Luke was doing that Kevin Nash, Diesel.
Yeah, I heard them so much. Bro TP, man. Bro TP for life.
Hashtag.
But yeah.
It. Yeah, anyway. Roundabout way.
Roundabout way, all the way back to the story. So yeah, Luke Harper is not in any trouble. He's expected to be back, I think, at the pay-per-view.
I would hope so.
But so he had personal issues he had to take care of. I hope everything's okay. I hope everybody's okay and that he's doing fine. Very happy to see Eric back, the white sheep and the black sheep. And we're going to have to see where they go with the Wyatt family now that all four members are there.
Yeah, we're going to talk about more later, but I'm glad that Eric's back. It just feels right.
Yeah, Eric, I like Braun. Don't get me wrong, I like Braun, but there's the chemistry between Luke and Eric and Bray that just works. Because it's like they're all, it's like Bray and Luke are the bad ones, and then there's Eric, who blindly follows, but is completely loyal to them.
He even though Luke's technically the protector of the group, Eric is very much a loyal follower of the group, loyal protector of Bray Wyatt.
I almost feel like Eric's the mom. Like, Luke's the big brother, but, like, Eric chases Bray around everywhere trying to protect him and save him. He's almost like Bray's mom. He's like, no, 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 you can't get in the ring. No, 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 no.
No.
Okay, fine. So, but yeah, very, very interesting dynamic. We will have to see where they go from here with it, especially with Braun, as he was a believed temp fix, and now they really like him, and he might be a permanent fix. We don't know.
I'm okay with him being, if he's part of the group, I'm okay. I'm okay with it. Keep him there.
I'm okay with four members, because honestly, you could have Bray manage Eric and Braun, and Luke can kind of stray off on his own and do his own thing. And they can all come together when they need to. They can all be a family when they need to, but you have Luke kind of go off and do his own thing.
Four people gives you more options. I mean, there was nothing wrong with the four horsemen, was there?
Nope.
So what's wrong with four Wyatt family members?
Absolutely nothing.
There you go. I mean, it's better, yeah. So we'll just stick with that. We're comparing the Wyatt family to the Four Horsemen tonight. Woo!
Because we can. Speaking, though, of returns, it was announced this week that three former Tough Enough contestants are making their return to the Performance Center in one Patrick, Mata, and Daria. They all reported this week to the Performance Center to start training. Patrick blew off an event to obviously go.
Yeah, he did.
Which I don't have an opinion about one way or another, but yeah, so congratulations to them. They've all signed. They're all now in the process of training, which should be interesting.
Oh, it should be interesting. Will we ever see these guys again? Maybe, maybe not.
We'll see Mata again.
Maybe. Again, it all depends.
No, I think we will. I get that hunch because they were all really high on Mata.
Oh, I'm not doubting it. I'm just saying it's going to be a while before we see any of them because now they're starting at the back of the line. They're the guys and girls starting at the very back of the line, have to earn their way up the roster to get a spot. Will we see them again? Possibly, because most of them are young. Patrick's very young. Well, he could be there for a while and we'll, you know, see him at some point. Mata has a look. If he can take it forward, he'll be on NXT in the next 6 to 8 months. We'll see. But it's good that it makes sense. The way I read a comment, I thought this was a good comment. WWE has, you know, made these guys names. So why not WWE sign them and take advantage of the fact they gave these people exposure and build on themselves instead of someone else benefiting off of what they've done?
Oh, yeah. I'm 100% in agreement with that.
Makes a lot of sense.
Makes a ton of sense. But speaking of earning your spot and earning your way up, somebody earned their way up finally as Prince Pretty, the King of Cuteville.
The Sultan of the Selfie.
Sultan of the Selfie. Oh my god, it's Tyler. Tyler Breeze debuted tonight on SmackDown.
As the new duo has been formed of Summer Breeze.
Where's the sarcastic clap when I need it? I love that emoticon so much.
It's a great one.
It's a great emoticon. Yeah. And unfortunately, he has to debut in a kind of crummy storyline, but we're getting Dolph and Ziggler right out of the gate, which I'm okay with this.
I'm okay with that. Again, we're going to talk about it later with Kevin Sullivan, and to be upfront with you, we talked to him Tuesday.
Yeah. We did. We talked to him before SmackDown had happened.
So, Mole. Just pointing that out there.
I'm sorry. I'm calling Mole on Mr. Sullivan.
I wasn't calling Mole on you. I'm just saying Mole in general.
Mole.
There was a Mole.
Mole.
But anyway, Tyler Breeze was... I liked the debut. I think him and Summer could be a decent pairing together. I'm going to give it a chance to see how it works. Tyler was very confident. He was very confident, and the beating he put on Ziggler was well done. Tyler Breeze belongs in the main roster, and he proved it tonight on SmackDown.
100% agree with that.
Now, we got to talk a couple, before. Anything else you want to say about Tyler Breeze?
He's awesome.
Okay, you done with that now?
Yes.
Can we show? We've added things to the soundboard tonight.
He wants to play with the soundboard.
I want to play with the soundboard. Number one.
Oh, say can you see?
Damn it, Ryback, he was not finished there.
I heart Bo Dallas so much.
Yeah. That was pretty good.
That was pretty good, yeah.
And a couple other things.
Wah, wah, wah.
There's that one, and there's one other one.
Wah, wah.
For those who don't know who that is, that's Kane playing his own trombone.
The world's smallest trombone as he very casually flicks them the finger.
I thought that was great.
That was well played. That was well done. But just two other quick notes before we head to break to talk NXT next. But it was announced that WWE and the Texas Lottery are teaming up for the WrestleMania Lottery.
Yeah. Available starting Monday, November 16th, with revenue supporting Texas Public Schools, the new game feed gives fans a chance to instantly win more than $10 million in prizes, including a top prize of $25,000, and the opportunity to enter one of four promotional second-chance drawings with prizes that include trips to WrestleMania, VIP all-access experience at the WWE Performance Center, and a replica WWE World Heavyweight Championship. So if you live in the state of Texas, you can play WWE WrestleMania! As a part of the agreement, the Texas Lottery will be a promotional partner for WrestleMania 32, which includes integration at WrestleMania Access, the WWE's four-day interactive fan festival, presence at the WWE live events leading up to WrestleMania, as well as a custom digital and social media activation across WWE platforms.
Do you have to live in Texas?
I don't know. Maybe. What I do know is the people on the tickets will be Seth Rollins, John Cena, Roman Reigns, the Bella Twins, Paige, Brock Lesnar, and The Undertaker.
Aw, Taker's going to be on a lottery ticket.
Now you can scratch off Taker anytime you want.
Hey! Or tasteless jokes, only on the rack.
Hey, hey, you took it there. I didn't take it there. You took it there.
Yeah, in terms of the Devastator, I didn't take it there. Okay.
Anyway, no one knows what we're talking about. Move on.
Inside joke. Inside joke. If we ever have to interview that man, we're never going to do it with a straight face.
Nope.
Because of all the inside jokes.
Anyway, moving on.
Moving on from that, one last note before we go to break. It was announced that William Shatner will be hosting Breaking Ground.
Yeah,
and
he'll be the narrator, and he'll be available on YouTube and Facebook Sunday at noon before it premieres on the WWE Network.
I'm curious about it.
I'm really interested. We may review it on the show from time to time, because there's 10 episodes in the series.
And it might have a ZZ.
It may have a ZZ.
definitely has a Josh.
It definitely has a Bailey. That's for sure. I can't wait for it. It's actually, because it's a half WWE production and a half other companies producing it, so it seems like it's going to be a really cool special, and adding William Shatner as the narrator just adds that, you know, touch of credibility to it.
Oh, yeah.
So if here's generic voiceover guy, here's William Shatner.
Right. Let's give it what it needs to just polish it up and make it that much better, and I have a feeling since they're trying to emulate ESPN's Hard Knocks.
HBO's.
Or I'm sorry, HBO's. I don't know why I said ESPN. But HBO's Hard Knocks, that they're going to do a good job with it.
Yeah, and the fact that they're putting it out for free online first, on YouTube and Facebook, means to get people to sign up for the WWE Network for only $9.99. It's a nice hook, and they must be very proud of the series, because they should be. It sounds like it's going to be an awesome, awesome thing.
Yeah, like I said, I'm highly curious. This is the kind of thing that if I think it's going to be what it is,
it's going to be really cool.
It's going to be really cool, but I almost wish this is what Tough Enough had been like, as opposed to what it was, to actually see them go through the training more so than what we did, to see the struggles, to see
who they really
friendships are. And everything else.
Who they really are, yeah.
Who they really are, and how you take someone from just being an everyday Joe Schmo to being a, you know, WWE superstar, and them finding that character and learning how to portray that character and everything else.
Right.
So, this should be really, really, really cool. At least I hope it is.
I hope so, too. I'm looking forward to it. Though debuting it on a Sunday is probably not the best idea, but hey, it's smart. It's at least an idea.
Yeah.
I'm just going to warn WWE, don't expect a lot of people to be watching it on Sunday at noon because football.
Yeah. Football.
Since they're doing a game in Europe, which starts at 9:30, streaming only on Yahoo, by the way.
Oh, God. Who's playing in Europe?
Bills and the Jaguars.
Oh.
Jaguars, they're going to be there for the next 5 years in Europe, too. The Jaguars have to do at least one game a year in Europe.
Oh, God, that sucks.
Well, that's what they've been doing. So it's like, hey, the London Jaguars. No.
You never know.
You never know. But besides, my point was, football overtakes everything as they clearly see on Monday nights. At least they're getting it out there. Hopefully it's available anytime online. So, for people to see.
Yep. But on that note, I say we take a break.
Yeah.
All right. So when we come back, we are going to be talking about this week's exciting NXT, including the debut, who showed up and surprised everybody. Hint, hint, a storm is coming.
Sorry about your damn luck.
Sorry about your damn luck. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client Brock Lesnar said, Suplex City, bitch.
from the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moment.
You will get your rematch! Put that man down! Your actions have consequences, and you know what? You're out of here! You're suspended! You know what? You're suspended indefinitely! Get out of my building now! Now get out!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh? Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing. It's not an East Coast thing. It's a worldwide thing. And I'm not gonna sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axel Mania is running wild in Los Angeles! Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axelmania is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MBG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWmania.com. Again, the web address is PWmania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWmania.com.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
I'm Santi Di Morella.
I'm going to prove to you and everyone else that I am the greatest intercontinental champion, eh? Of all the times!
You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
In this day and time, strong survive, and there ain't no one as strong as I'm. And I waited in the longest line for the longest time. Now this moment's mine.
And welcome back to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. What?
This music. It's weird.
Whose is it?
It's Storm's.
Okay, no, we have to talk about this. No.
I found the music. It's different.
Anyway, different's a good word for it.
Anyway, welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back, and well, since we're coming back to Storm's music, that means we're talking all about this week's exciting NXT, including the debut of one
Cowboy James Storm on NXT. Okay, I'm just going to say it. This was weird. This was really weird. It was cool as all hell, but it was weird.
It was weird. And we'll get to Storm here in a minute. We will dive deeper into it. First, we had Asuka taking on Billie Kay.
Anytime she smiles at you, run.
Run.
Just run.
Yeah, Billie Kay brought the fight early. Asuka came right back and gave the fight back to her. And then this evil smile on her face. And then she just went to work. Armbar, German suplex, locked in the chicken wing. It's that death look. It's like, oh, is that the best you got? Kill you now. It's great. Her look, Asuka is good. She has the facials you need for pro wrestling.
Asuka's just amazing.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only way to really describe her is that she's absolutely amazing, and I love her. And as you said, she's got the facials, she's got the skill, she's got everything.
She has this down pat, which is awesome.
She's just perfect.
She is. We had a video hyping up Baron Corbin for later on tonight. We had Tyler Breeze talking about how Joe thought he is the rightful number one contender. And quote, Tyler Breeze, if I'm not the number one contender, then you're not the number one contender. And then talked about slicing bacon off of Joe.
Oh my.
A little weird, want to slice bacon off of Joe, but okay. That's what gets you going at night. Okay, that's fine, Tyler. Strong promo by Tyler, which we're going to see them next week, which should be really, really good.
That should be really, really good.
Enzo and Cass took on Dash and Dawson. Dash and Dawson spent time working with a leg of Enzo for a long time, including using Indian Deathlock. Big Cass got taken out. Enzo, though, locked in a small package for the win and got the win for his team. But then Dash and Dawson just went after Big Cass, went after Enzo. Yeah, Enzo and Cass got laid out. Dash and Dawson lost, but looked like they were victorious.
They were victorious, however, well, Dash and Dawson beat them up, which was just not okay.
No, it really isn't. No, it wasn't okay. You don't take out Enzo and Cass.
Just don't do that, man. I mean, come on. That's soft. Or is that booty? That's booty.
That's booty.
It's booty. Booty.
It's booty. Anyway. We had a Rhino hype video for later on tonight. Eva Marie is still on vacay in Paris.
Again, why are they showing these? These don't matter.
Well, there's a reason for them.
Yeah. Apparently she gets booed out of the building for it.
Yeah. Then we had Danny Burch taking on this guy named James Storm, who started in WCW and spent 15 years on the indies.
I know, that was amazing. Look, he's totally spent 15 years on the indies. Never mind, he was in TNA.
Well, that's indies.
And he was the former world heavyweight champion. I love that.
My best part was started in WCW. No one, and I mean no one, when you say James Storm, goes, he was in WCW.
He was in WCW for a cup of coffee.
Right, exactly. So it's like, he started in WCW, like...
Well, I mean...
Technically, historically, that's where he got his start. You read his Wikipedia page, it does start WCW first. But yeah. Anyway, we had a You Belong Here chant. He had a nice kick to the back of the head, running neck breaker, and then said, good night, and then hit the 8-second ride for the win. Again, as you said earlier, weird... Good weird.
Yeah, it's wonderful to see Storm in NXT and to see him get his due and for him to get called up to WWE and for him to be used properly. Because as we all remember, Harris did not get the treatment that Storm is getting. He's being taken seriously. He's being used. I mean, granted, this is his first match, but already you can tell they have the intention of getting what they're paying for out of him. He's there because he wants to be there. It's just slightly awkward because when you think of TNA, you think of James Storm because he was there from day one. He helped to build the company from nothing.
Yeah.
And he was one of the reasons for their success. And, you know, he was there up until July of this past year when he said enough was enough and he moved on. And he's obviously moved on to WWE and NXT.
Yet still being a feature point on TNA television.
Yeah. And that's what makes it really kind of weird is because right now he's being featured on, TNA TV for the World Heavyweight Championship tournament. It's like, oh, this is just, you know, slightly weird.
Yeah.
But good weird.
Good weird. Good weird. Best way to put it. It's good weird.
But he looked great. The match went well. We got to talk about those tights. No, though, man.
No?
No to the tights.
No to the tights? They don't work for you?
I'm not digging the tights. Just not feeling it.
Well, you know, that happens. But, yeah, it was a solid debut for him, and we probably won't see him for a few weeks, but it was cool to see him.
It was cool to see him.
Moving on the show, he then went over the birch and said, sorry about your damn luck, and, yeah, it was pretty awesome. Then they cut a promo on WWE.com. You should all go listen to it. It's awesome.
It is awesome.
Apollo Crews and Finn Balor was announced for 2 weeks from tonight for the NXT title, or last night, rather, for the NXT title, which should be fun. They did a video on Apollo Crews' background. It was basically a hype video, sort of like what they were doing for Finn when he was challenging. We then had Peyton Royce taking on the evil Sparkle Fairy, Alexa Bliss.
Oh, she was in fine form tonight, last night.
Oh, yeah, she was. See, it's hard saying it. Last night, tonight, you know. Same thing.
I'm used to it being on Thursdays.
I know.
Even though it's been on Wednesday for forever, I'm used to it being on Thursdays.
Yeah, because we watch it on Wednesday. Anyway, it was a nice move where Alexa was held on the ropes and then stepped over Payne. It was very nice. Royce made her comeback. Bliss cut her off. The Bliss flip and then Sparkle Splash for the win. She then cut a promo congratulating Bayley, saying she accomplished so much with so little. She becomes a role model, an inspiration. But it's about to stop. Bliss is what everyone strives to be. She was made to be NXT Women's Champion. Strong promo from Alexa. Strong promo.
Somebody's confident.
Wouldn't you be?
Well, if you're Alexa Bliss, yeah, I would be.
And had the backup she has.
Mm-hmm.
As mentioned, Tyler Breeze will take on Samoa Joe next week. And then we got to our main event. Baron Corbin and Rhino both then brawled. Rhino had to beat the 10 count at one point. He had to be throwing in the steps. Every time Rhino made a comeback, Corbin would cut him off with a big move. Corbin missed the slap. Yes, he actually missed the slap. And then fought on the outside. Corbin had to beat the 10 count to get back in. Rhino hit the belly-to-belly for a 2 count. He hits a gore for a very long 2 count. Goes for the second gore. End of days instead. Your winner, Baron Corbin. This was solid. This was not bad.
One wasn't as good as their first encounter, but still pretty good.
Corbin's improving.
He's getting better week by week,
If you give, see, like I said, we said for a while, if you actually give Corbin time to improve and actually showcase long matches, people can get into him. I'm getting into him again the more times he hit Russell's long competitive matches.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, it's like, we get it. Baron Corbin can crush people. Now I want to see what he can really do. I want to really see him put a hurting on somebody. And that's what he's doing in this, and it's like, hey, this is perfect.
This is the perfect way to use him.
Mm-hmm.
We had Samoa Joe calling Tyler Breeze a desperate man and talked about how Breeze called him out and says Breeze's desperation is going to get him hurt. He told him Prince Pretty to get a pretty selfie. And hell, he will never look the same again after Joe is done with him. That was a solid promo to end the show.
It was a very solid promo to end the show. It was a nice way to build to that match between Breeze and Joe.
I like how they have stuff to build to each week right now. Last week we built to Baron Corbin and Rhino. This week we're building to Tyler Breeze and Joe for next week. We're building the things every week. We're building to the main event every week and everyone else has something to do on the show, which I like. It's a nice old school approach. Every week you're building to something from the previous week. Logical storytelling. Looking. Huh.
How about that?
Novel concept, don't you think?
Amazing how that stuff works.
And they're promoting things in advance, too. It's like, huh.
Hey!
Hey! But yeah, solid edition of NXT.
Very solid. Looking forward to next week.
With that, I say we go to break.
I say you're right. So we're going to take our second break of the evening, and when we come back, we are going to be talking all about Hell in a Cell. We're going to fill you in on the updated card. We'll give you our picks. We'll let you know how you can pick along with us. And of course, we've got Tweet of the Week. So
plus, Kevin Sullivan, the author, still to come.
Yes, Kevin Sullivan, still to come. Don't want to miss all that. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number 2.
That's currently number 7. It was number 2 at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a gang bang or something.
Techno gangbang. Maybe the world needs bands. End of the world Gangnam style.
Weird. Wow. Comes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I was like, what is this, like a... fucking martial art or this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot. But,
watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck?
I thought the people are going to be showing at the party. Where are you, Gundam Style, over here?
That's the horse you have, that's the horse you have. Not the pelvic thrust. Is that Mr. Sulu in the sky? Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, that
800 million. Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah. This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I got to... You gotta play something else, Rock. I'm gonna wake up and start riding the damn donkey. I hate that song, Rock. I think you just replaced the song in my head with the worst song. Now I'm watching some Hispanic dude do it in my head. Oh, now it's being cross-referenced with the Asian dude. Oh, they're having a mess. Macarena.
Macarena
style. Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless, I was made in America.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com. And you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rock on Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MVG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And I have no idea what we came back to. What was that?
The Hell in a Cell theme, Cut the Cord by Shinedown.
Okay. But now I say we do Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
So Seamus is going to be on Close Encounters Tuesday at 10 p.m. on
R2D2?
Something like that.
I don't know.
Anyway, somebody tweeted hyping up his appearance, namely the channel, to which Seamus replied, "Look, Ma, gonna be on the telly."
But he's on the telly every week.
Shh. Somebody tweeted Fight Owens Fight, "Why did you attack MGK4? He did nothing wrong."
Uh-huh.
To which Kevin replies, "Yes, he did. He sang." Somebody tweets Kevin Owens, "Gabe said Sammy was perfect this weekend. He wanted you to know." Kevin Owens replies, "Liar! He said he was awesome. You're blocked for lying." Ryback tweeted, "Uh-oh, this just got built and somebody is learning backflips. Big Guy Wrestling Federation has begun." To which Kevin Owens goes, "Break a leg, smiley face." And finally, Sheamus, "Holy crap, Doc, they have pasty ginger wrestlers in the future. Hashtag 21 October 2015. Hashtag Back to the Future Day."
Is that it?
That's it.
Powerbomb Jiu-Jitsu tweeted to Bully Ray, "When are you going to help Tommy Dreamer lose weight?" Bully Ray deadly replied, "I'm not a miracle worker." Sasha Banks tweeted, "Undertaker!" That's all she did. It's just like, "Undertaker."
It's so cute.
Bailey, "If wrestling was an object, I'd hug it. I love you, wrestling. Heart, emoticon. Keep it 5-star. I hope the Undertaker kicks everyone in the junk while he's in Mexico. No one's genitals are safe." Someone tweeted Kevin Owens, "Whatever happened to Kevin Steen?" Kevin Owens replied, "He won. Fake ESPN. Payne Manning. Shut it, Twitter." Dolph Ziggler, "Browns were the Browns today. It just took longer." Sad face emoticon. Jay Adandi, "Colts just crossed the boundary from bold to stupid. You see that play? It was awful. No one knows what it was." Not Sports Center, "Breaking. The Colts have announced they have a new job opening at special teams coordinator, effective immediately." CM Punk, "We hate Punk, but we'll continue to write full articles about him and talk about him and dream about his dreamy legs. He stinks. Parentheses, I love him." ProWrestling.net, "Monday Night Football is going to show a Star Wars trailer. That'll put a lot of butts in seats," said Michael Cole. Not really. Keep it 5-star. "Roman Reigns, you should be afraid of me. Poke spray. Very. Poke. Very. Poke. Afraid of. Poke. Me. Bray Wyatt. Pixley. Pillsbury. Giggle. Hashtag Raw."
Basically.
Yeah. Three Man Booth. "Bray Wyatt. Harper. Where were you?" Luke Harper, "I was washing my Bray Wyatt. Liar. Hashtag Raw." Keep it 5-star. "Did the click just politic a Shield reunion?" Yes, they did. Three Man Booth. "When did Shawn Michaels become the agent of the internet? Can he also make Sasha fight Charlotte tonight? Hashtag Raw. Hashtag Shield reunites." Three Man Booth. "Raw Dallas. This is awesome. This is awesome. Raw at home. This has the potential to be awesome. This has the potential to be awesome." Keep it 5-star. "Where's the Undertaker? Can he come out and kick Brock Lesnar in the junk and get him angry? Hashtag Stone Cold Podcast."
God.
Michael Hayes tweeted, "It's in Orlando for NXT. Gonna be awesome. Is Alexa Bailey's downfall? Is Bailey prime for an upset after two career making matches with Sasha?" Sasha Banks tweeted, "Probs. Gulp. Sparkle splash. Gulp." Ooh, taking shots. And fake John Madden, "It only took the Seahawks 8 months to give the ball to Marshawn Lynch at the one." Because that happened tonight, yeah. Told you, there was a shot that was going to be taken. Say nothing about the Cowboys. I was good. Good.
I'm so proud of you.
Good. Anyway, that's Tweet of the Week.
That's Tweet of the Week. So now, Hell in a Cell.
8-Ball, we're coming for you, brother.
I did pretty good last time.
Then tell the people how they can do good this time.
Well, if you want to do good like me and kick Rock and the 8-Ball's butt in Pick'em, you have until Sunday at what, 5 p.m.?
We'll go with 5 p.m., yeah.
5 p.m. to send us your picks. You have several ways to do that. You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio at Lens Ward. You can Facebook us, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. You can also tweet at Rack Radio Show. You can do Facebook, Rack Radio Show. You can email us, media@wildtalkradio.com. And if you know our Tumblrs, you can tumble us.
And facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network. The best way to put in your picks.
Yes, you have until Sunday at 5 p.m. There is no prize this go-round, aside from bragging rights. So, for the next month, you can give everybody else crap if you win.
Which Lindsay does on the regular.
Just to you.
No.
And Brent.
Brent, but mainly me.
Yeah, if you could just see the smile.
I can see the smile. I can hear the smile. Yes, I can hear a smile. Glee in her voice.
Because, you know, I was what?
Not even.
One of these years, I will get him to admit I was right on the air.
I admit all the time that you are on the air, but I don't say it with those exact words.
Yeah, you don't say it while we're recording.
Key word.
Anyway. Although I think have a clip somewhere of Omega saying it.
Probably. Anyway, moving on. Let's get into the show.
So, pre-show match first, because why the heck not? We have Sheamus, Rusev, and King Barrett taking on Ziggles, Neville, and Cesaro.
Well, based on what we saw tonight on SmackDown, we're using SmackDown as the gauge for this one. Because on Raw, we saw Team Europe win cleanly.
Mm-hmm.
We saw Team Europe dominate the Lucha Dragons. We saw Cesaro lose. We saw Ziggler get his ass kicked, and Neville was nowhere to be found tonight. I like the makings of Team Europe. I think the three of them together is actually a strong team.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not some goofy comedy gimmick either.
No, they're being taken seriously, which is nice.
With Ziggler going to feud with Breeze, Cesaro probably going to feud with Stardust, and Neville probably helping Cesaro with Stardust. I say Team Europe wins. I could even see Tyler Breeze interfering.
Get out of my head. That was kind of where I was thinking, was Breeze is going to somehow interfere and pull Cesaro away. Stardust may interfere also, and or kind of deal. But yeah, I see shenanigans in this, and I see Team Europe winning. They're going to break up Ziggler, Neville, and Cesaro. They're going to move them on to other things. They're keeping Team Europe together.
Especially when they're heading to Europe, I would keep Team Europe together.
And keep them strong.
Yeah, because they're going in November, so it's a while from now, but still, they could keep them together. The Magic 8 Ball says outlook not so good for Team Europe winning. So he's going with the baby faces.
Bad 8 Ball.
What's next?
Up next, we have the John Cena Open Challenge.
John Cena versus the world. I don't know what to think about this one. What do you think?
It's just my thought process behind this, but Cena's gone till December, January. They're going to take the title off of him because it doesn't make any sense to have him go away with it and come back with it, especially since there's a 30-day rule, and he's not coming back to defend it in 30 days.
That 30-day rule doesn't exist anymore. It's like now like the 90-day rule, I think. Something to that effect. Anyway,
still.
I get
it doesn't make sense to have somebody walk off with your title for 2 months and come back with it. So my bet is that they're taking it off Cena, and I'm gonna call a shot in the dark and say Dean Ambrose challenges. He doesn't have anything to do. They're gonna want to get him on the show, and there's no logical person outside Dean Ambrose, unless you have a Wyatt challenge for it, to take it off of Cena. And that would be a nice sort of mini passing of the torch to Ambrose to kind of sort of help get him on his way to carry the company while Cena's gone.
I did not think of Dean Ambrose. He slipped my mind when it came to this. I like that idea. By the way, my pick is John Cena to lose. I don't know who to, but Dean Ambrose does sound like a very logical choice. Because they did not announce the open challenge until they changed the thing on Monday with removing Dean and Randy Orton. Because going through the roster, I thought, before Tyler Breeze debuted, he may have been the guy to do it. It doesn't make sense for a member of the New Day to be involved. It doesn't make sense for Ziggler to do double duty because they have him in the kickoff match. And he's in a program with Breeze, and that doesn't need the title yet. Cena loses, since we don't have to pick who it is.
Yeah, I'm of the same mind. I say Cena loses to whomever challenges. And then Cena goes away for 2 months.
Magic 8 Ball says, very doubtful that Cena retains. I just think, I mean, there is the possibility Cena can keep the belt and goes on for 2 months. I mean, there is a thing trending on Facebook that Sheamus is the next contender for the U.S. title, but I don't want Sheamus in the for the U.S. title.
Sheamus is Mr. Money in the Bank. You don't want to put any other title or have him go for any other title other than the World Heavyweight Championship right now. Because that's, like, basically settling for second best.
Right, and if you look at the roster, there isn't the guy who stands out going, hey, he should be challenging you, because you have all the other guys are in a match already, so it's like, I don't see anyone. And Dean Ambrose, since I don't think it's going to be a guy from NXT, because everything with NXT is already booked up, it makes sense to use a guy like Dean Ambrose, yeah.
I mean, you have to rebuild Dean after the months and months and months and months of sort of damage that you've done to him. Mm-hmm. This is a good way to do it. He gets a win over Cena. He gets a title. He can carry that title and be featured on TV with it as he moves forward with whatever he's going to do and whomever he's going to face. And it's just a good all around way to use him. Plus, he has a long U.S. title reign on him already. Another reign won't hurt.
All right. What's next?
Up next, we have WWE Tag Team Championship, New Day versus the Dudleys.
Huh. This one's an interesting one, because the New Day just lost cleanly on SmackDown. Somewhat cleanly. Thanks to the Dudley Boys. Just half clean. If you don't give the belts to the Dudleys, what's the point? You know?
Yeah, I kind of agree with that.
But then again, do you really want to take the belts off of New Day?
If it's going to the Dudleys, because let's think about it. You have the Ascension, you have the Wyatts, you have New Day.
Mm-hmm. Primetime Players.
Primetime Players, Matadors.
Team Europe.
Team Europe. And those are all I can think of off the top of my head.
Cesaro and Neville.
Yeah, I don't really count them, because they're getting split up.
Maybe.
But the majority of those are heels.
Yes.
So it makes sense to put the belts on a babyface tag team, plus everybody will lose their shit if the Dudleys win.
And then the excuse is Xavier Woods is possibly not there because he's hurt. But I really, really want to pick
New Day!
You are thoroughly enjoying
I am.
That sounder, aren't you?
I am. Because one more time.
New Day!
But I can't pick the New Day. You gotta pick the Dudleys on this one, right? I mean, it makes sense. Logic tells you Dudleys win, because it's his third shot. They haven't won the belts. Unless this is like the Wyatt family, losing, 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 and still losing, and then just move on to something else.
No, they brought the Dudleys back for a reason. I say they're gonna put the tag titles on him. Now is as good a time as any. Plus, New Day's always better when they're chasing anyway.
And then again, you can do Dudley Boys and some kind of combination of the Wyatt family for the belt at some point.
There you go.
Alright. I go Dudleys, you go Dudleys?
I go Dudleys, we haven't differed yet.
8-Ball goes Dudleys.
So, Intercontinental Championship, Kevin Owens versus the Ryback. Owens.
Feed me more. Feed me less. Feed me less. Oh my god, feed me less of Ryback.
Yeah.
Kevin Owens is going to retain the Intercontinental title, in my opinion, because... I don't want to see Ryback as champion. He had it. He had his run, and I just don't want to see it. I don't see the point of it, you know what I mean?
I'm there with you.
It's like, you look at it, this whole situation, it's like, Kevin Owens is strong with the championship. Give him an incredible opponent to fight, better than Ryback, they could put on some fantastic matches. I'm going Kevin Owens.
Yeah. I'm with him. I say Kevin Owens. It makes more sense to keep the title on him. Ryback, bless him, he tries, but he just doesn't do anything for me. And he's completely one-dimensional.
Right.
And it's just like, okay, aside from the chant, what else do you have?
His pink tights.
His spanky man panties.
His spanky man. Yeah, them.
Anyway, Kevin Owens.
Kevin Owens. 8-Ball says Kevin Owens. Before we move on, I want to circle back to John Cena for a second.
Okay.
And pose this question. What if a bearded fella who goes, yes, 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 comes and wins the title from John Cena?
If he does it, that'd be awesome.
Okay.
You know, that would open a lot of doors for a lot of people in terms of feuds, but something tells me WWE is still going no, no, no.
Okay, I just wanted to throw that out there, because I thought of it earlier, I forgot it when we were talking about the match, and then I remembered it. So I wanted to make sure I threw that point out there.
Totally cool.
Next match.
Next match, Divas Championship, Charlotte taking on Nikki Bella.
Okay, so last month, we were really excited for Charlotte and Nikki Bella. I don't have that same sort of excitement this time around.
They're doing a fair job building the match, but again, there's nothing, there's no record on the line. There's not anything that we haven't seen before. They have good chemistry. They can do a good match together.
And they're building more Charlotte versus Paige than they are Charlotte versus Nikki.
Yeah, it's like, let's get Nikki's rematch out of the way, and then that way we can move on to Charlotte versus Paige, because that's where they're going.
Yeah, you know Paige is the next contender, and Nikki's getting this guaranteed. This is the bridge gap before we get to the... They're allowing this match to be the bridge gap so they could actually do a feud between Charlotte and Paige. At the same time, Charlotte can get her title first title defense, not title rematch, Charlotte. It's title defense. Just point that one out. But again, they're doing a decent job. They're not the focus like they were last month, but that's fine. They're going to get some time. They're going to have a decent match. Charlotte's going to retain. I think that's part of it too. No one expects Nikki to win.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, it's Nikki had a run. Nikki had a solid run, and now it's just like, okay, I'm kind of okay if you don't win. I'd really like to see Charlotte get a decent reign and move on to someone else.
Yeah, we're going to get Paige versus Charlotte coming up. Nikki and the Bella twins and Team Bella will probably go on to do something with Team Bad. Maybe it's Survivor Series. I would think, maybe, if they do a second Divas match. I'd let them go feud and let Charlotte and Paige and all that have the main focus of the division. I'm okay with that. So Charlotte retains. The 8-Ball says no on Charlotte retaining, by the way. Just throwing that out there.
But yeah, interesting.
So you're Charlotte as well?
I'm Charlotte as well.
What's next?
Up next, one of the ones we're having problems with, Bray Wyatt versus Roman Reigns in Hell in a Cell.
Okay. We've been waiting a long time to talk about this one.
Weeks.
Like last week, when we were discussing what we were going to talk about, I was like, we want to talk about this, but we can't just yet because it's for next week. So we're going to talk about it. So back in July, this whole feud started. This is where everyone in the crowd starts chanting boring. That's what Roman Reigns did. He started talking about the whole build up and they start chanting boring. They made this feud personal at the very beginning and was really, really good. It then became about family, which in a roundabout way, the whole entire thing has been about family, starting with Roman's daughter, then became Wyatt family and Roman's wrestling family of Dean Ambrose. And we've gotten to the point where it's now boiled back down to Roman Reigns and Bray Wyatt. And you just look at how it's been built. My one biggest complaint, they did not do a good enough job building up Bray Wyatt as a big threat. That's my one complaint.
They never do that, though.
I know, and we talk all the time. You know, that's my one biggest complaint. They don't feed people to Bray Wyatt. They let him talk, but they don't feed him to him. And they Roman's had chances to win. Bray has not. I wish throughout this build-up, Bray had chances to beat people other than winning the first match and then his team winning last month. I wish Bray had an opportunity to beat a Dean Ambrose. Instead of Roman Reigns beating a Luke Harper, Bray Wyatt should have beaten Dean Ambrose along the way. That's my biggest complaint. Other than that, I thought they've done a fairly good job building this up.
I would agree with that. I wish they had built Bray. I wish they would build Bray into more of a monster, because he does such an amazing job with this character, and he could be your number two heel in the company if you really let him go to town and just made people afraid of him. And this is a conversation we've had repeatedly, and we'll keep having it, is that nobody's really afraid of Bray Wyatt.
Right.
When everybody should be afraid of Bray Wyatt, because this is a guy who is a leader of a cult, who is prepared to go to the absolute extreme to get what he wants. Case in point, he brought Roman's daughter into this from the get-go, and that was what caught everybody's attention about it, was Bray made it personal really, really, really quick, and he did a wonderful job with it, and they did a great job in terms of spelling all that out at the start. But you didn't have Roman court. You didn't really have Roman respond. It's like once Roman realized that the threat wasn't real against his daughter, you know, he went back into badass mode, but it's like he never went for the personal attack on Bray. So Bray went right for the jugular like he always does, and Roman didn't really respond in any kind of fashion beyond, oh, well, we're going to fight and we're going to have a match. And they did, and Bray won. And then the family reunited, behind Bray Wyatt in terms of Luke Harper and Braun Strowman.
Right.
Later on, and you had Roman be, you know, the cocky face, and he had Dean, but they had to find the third. They thought they found it in Chris Jericho, they didn't, and they thought they found it in Randy Orton, and obviously that didn't work.
No, it hasn't worked.
So, and now you have Roman, which it was interesting on SmackDown, on Raw Monday, where it's, you have Roman and Bray, they're sitting in the ring, they're face to face. It's a really good moment between the two because you have Roman sitting there telling Bray, you're afraid of me. I know you're afraid of me. You're afraid to be alone. You're afraid of this match. And all the while, Bray's sitting there completely calm.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, Roman, are you is Bray afraid, or are you trying to convince Bray that you're not afraid?
Yeah, it seemed more like Roman was trying to convince himself rather than Bray's actual true thought process. And they reiterated that point on the WWE.com interview in Bray's home with Michael Cole, which I just found awesome. And by the way, tangent, if you're going to do a segment where Bray has a rocking chair, get rid of the USA flag on it.
Yeah, just saying.
And Bray, the really good interview was on WWE.com, where he's just sitting there and he's talking to Cole, and Cole asks the question, and he just sits there and looks at him. It's like, did you really just ask that question? Bray Wyatt doesn't fear anything. He's the new face of fear, and it's like trying to portray him as someone who's scared and who needs to be protected is the total opposite of what the reality is.
Way back when Bray first debuted, Bray had the family, and obviously, and Bray had a moment where it was basically Daniel Bryan made the same thing or said the same thing. You're afraid. You're not going to come out from behind the family. You're going to hide behind them and let them do your dirty work for you. Here's the thing. Bray Wyatt came out from behind the family, rose to the challenge, and beat Daniel Bryan clean. Nobody remembers that, but he did. He took Bryan to town, and the two beat the crap out of each other, but ultimately Bray won.
With that sweet Sister Abigail on the barricade.
Yeah, man, that was awesome. But it's something that they don't push enough, that Bray Wyatt has the family, but Bray Wyatt does not need the family. There is a reason why Bray Wyatt is the leader of these three monsters. And they don't emphasize it enough that the reason why he is the leader is because he's the worst one of all. He's the scariest one of all.
Exactly.
And they don't emphasize that enough, and I wish they would. But it's Roman sitting there trying to convince himself that that he's not afraid, and Bray is in the middle of the ring. And then you have Bray do the interview on WWE.com where it's basically, I'm not afraid. You know, it's, I've already figured this out. I already know what I'm going to do. I'm not afraid to be alone. The only thing that, you know, that terrifies him really is being trapped inside his own mind.
And when Bray's trapped inside his own mind, that would cause chaos for any other human. And that could be the death of Roman Reigns in the cell, because Bray's trapped in the cell with him. Roman, you're trapped in the cell with a crazy lunatic not named Dean Ambrose. It's Bray Wyatt. He will do anything he can. He will deliver punishment to you. I don't think Roman Reigns got that. Roman Reigns tries to play the cocky baby face. Look at me, I don't fear anything. But you know deep down inside, there is fear. And he masked it so well, which is why he posed the questions the way he does. He masked his fear. And going into the cell with Bray Wyatt, just for the idea of it, Bray Wyatt and Roman Reigns in a cell. We thought Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins last year was crazy, two crazy sons of bitches in a cell. You got Bray and Roman Reigns in a cell now.
And the thing with Bray and Roman is they're going to pull out all the stops. Because they're the second cell match up against Taker and Brock. And it's something they're going to have to set the bar for Taker and Brock. And Bray's going to go out there and Roman's going to go out there. And they're going to set the bar pretty high. Because the two, when they face each other on their own, they have good matches. The two, when they're part of the family and part of the Shield 2.0 respectively, have good matches. It's this willingness and this eagerness from the two of them to step it up.
Yeah.
To get themselves noticed, to make sure that everybody in the back knows they're here and they're serious and they're not just here to make a paycheck.
Exactly.
And so I think this will be a good match. I think this will be a borderline great match. I think they're going to go out there and they're going to try and steal the show. I think they're going to beat the absolute living crap out of each other. if somebody's going off the top, this is the match that somebody's going off in. Not that I think anybody will, but if they're going to go for it, now would be the time.
Yeah, I don't think anyone goes off the cell, but I think they're going to stay away from that this time around. Unlike last year where Dean and Seth went off the side of the cell.
But that being said, I don't know. I've thought about this, and I've thought about this, and I've thought about this.
Yes, we have.
Really, really, really hard.
I don't know. Like, logically, we talked about that weeks ago. Roman Reigns is in line to be the next WWE champion. I'm calling Survivor Series. So if that's supposed to happen, he's got to beat Bray Wyatt. That said, I don't know if that's where I want it to go.
Bray needs the win.
Yes, Bray needs the win.
Bray needs to go out there, and he needs to rip it up, and he needs to kick somebody's butt. That being said, Cena's out. Orton's out. Roman, by default, is going to become the top babyface because he's the one that they want to push with Dean Ambrose in a very close second. They need to build Roman Reigns. They need to have Roman Reigns prove he deserves to go in that spot because this is the test for him to see if he can get over.
Right.
Basically, as that top baby face.
Mm-hmm.
This is his make it or break it moment. And so to have him lose in the cell is not the smartest of ideas. You can rebuild Bray Wyatt, but it will take a little bit more time. But as much as it hurts, I'm going Roman Reigns.
Should I differ with you or not differ with you? That's the question.
I'd like to put on the caveat, I want it to be Bray Wyatt that wins this match. I desperately
want it to be
Bray. But Roman's winning.
Yeah. Yeah. Gotta go with Roman Reigns. I don't want to. I really don't.
I don't want Roman to win, but he's gonna. He's gonna. And it's gonna be clean. It's not gonna be. This is the final match between the two. It's gonna be a clean victory. The family's not gonna be involved. Ambrose is not gonna be involved.
I expect them to attempt to get involved, but they get warded in some fashion.
The most I can see is that Bray's got somebody under the ring, that he's got Luke under the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how Luke gets in the cell, but honestly, I don't even want to see that. I want to see Bray go out there, and I want to see Bray do it on his own, and I want to see him beat Roman, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Roman's going to beat Bray clean in the middle of the ring.
Will Bray Wyatt beat Roman Reigns in Hell in a Cell? Most likely, says the Magic 8-Ball.
I hate you, 8-Ball.
Like, we're so here trying to say no, 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 and the 8-Ball goes, yeah, most likely, yeah.
I want it to be Bray, but it's going to be Roman.
Same here. Yeah, we're in the same mindset. All right, next.
WWE Championship match. If Kane loses, Corporate Kane is no longer Director of Operations. Seth Rollins versus Kane.
They've done a really good job of this. I've really, 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 really enjoyed Corporate Kane.
I love Corporate Kane.
Corporate Kane is amazing. The sad thing is, I have a feeling Corporate Kane is going away.
I have a feeling
he's
winning this on a technicality. Because here's the thing, you can have Kane win the match either by DQ or by countout, and the title does not change hands.
Yeah, but that would lead it to another match between the two. I don't think you can draw out another match between the two, and I don't think you can headline Survivor Series with Kane and Seth Rollins.
No, you can't headline with Kane and Seth Rollins, but it's something you could do it on Raw the next night where you do the follow-up match without the stip, and then you have Kane lose.
You could. I don't know. I don't want Corporate Kane to go away. Hell, just make him Glenn Jacobs on television. It's fine. This has been the best revival of his career in a very long time.
He's enjoying the ever-living hell out of this character, you can tell.
Because you could tell, before they took him out, he was becoming a little stale as Corporate Kane. He was going through the motion. Now that he's come back after a couple months off, he's refreshed. He's full of personality. Oh man, full of personality. And I think removing that character from television will hurt.
The thing is, okay, so Kane loses, Corporate Kane goes away. What do you do with Kane from here?
Brothers of Destruction reunion at Survivor Series?
No, that can't happen because my ovaries would explode.
I know, and you're going to be there.
And I'm going to be there live. That's why that can't happen. But, especially if it's against the Wyatts.
Though, we do have the whole scenario worked out where we could do Team Taker, Team Brothers of Destruction versus Team Wyatt family.
We do.
We have this whole mapped out. It would work perfectly.
It's terrifying.
Well, we would have to replace Randy Orton because we had Randy Orton in it, but
we can find somebody.
You can find somebody. Tangenting back to the match, it's like Kane. There's nothing more you can really do with Kane. If he loses, he becomes Big Show. He's there. He's a guy. Right now, as Corbin Kane, he's a character who doesn't really need to wrestle quite that often.
He doesn't need to wrestle quite that often. It's a good role for him to be in the non-ring and be more office, be more corporate, be Stephanie and a thorn in everybody's side, where he's doing a mixture of Bo Dallas and John Laurinaitis.
People power.
Believe it.
But, that said, Seth Rollins needs a win. I know he got a win tonight on SmackDown, win on Raw, but that's the first time he's really won matches in forever. I'm going Seth Rollins retains, clean, middle, pedigree, symbols that. I want Kane to stay corporate, but I don't think it's happening.
Seeing as it looks like they're turning Kane face in the next few months based on the house show plans, and obviously that's subject to change, I'm going Seth Rollins as well. Seth's going to retain the title. He will move forward. Corporate Kane will go away, and they'll figure out what to do with him from there.
Magic 8-Ball agrees with us, saying Seth Rollins will retain the WWE Championship. Which brings us to our main
Brock and Taker.
Oh, man.
I am terrified for Taker's health. Absolutely terrified. He's going to die.
So in preparation for this, we both have done a little bit of research. I actually went back and watched the first ever Hell in a Cell between these two men, where it got bloody. Paul Heyman took some bumps outside the cage, got bloody. Everyone got bloody. I don't expect blood in this one. We also did some research watching the best damn Hell in a Cell match in the history of Hell in a Cell matches, the Battle for Love of Shawn Michaels, Undertaker vs. Triple H at WrestleMania 28.
Yup.
It really is the Battle for Love.
It's the battle over Shawn's love.
It really is. My fear is this is not going to go well. You look at The Undertaker, you see how much the business has taken a toll on him. You just see it every time he moves, every time he walks. You just see him physically. Putting him in this type of match could be really demanding on him. He could come in and surprise us all and have a great, great match. Maybe that's why he worked Mexico to get loosened up. I don't know. This one's hard because you look at Brock Lesnar and he's a beast. He's a boring podcast guest, but he's a beast. Because he likes his beer and his deer and his gun.
Yes. He's a simple man.
And his steak. He likes his steak.
He loves steak, yes. It's his favorite food.
It is his favorite food. Hashtag Stone Cold Podcast. But I don't know. I just fear for Taker in this one.
Brock's going to be as gentle as he can.
And that's saying something.
That's saying something, and we've all seen Brock's gentle. It's a bull in a china shop, let's be realistic. But he tries very hard to be gentle. I mean, I think they understand Taker's weaknesses. I'm actually happy that they've put him in a stint match. I'm concerned it's a Hell in a Cell, but it'll be good in the sense that it can hide his flaws better than a straight-up match will. And I think that's where he's been lacking the last couple times he's been out. It's a straight match. No stip, so he can't have those rests on the outside. He can't have just those general rest spots that he's used to in the matches.
Right. Oh, I'm with you on that one.
And so it's something being able to be on the outside, not having to take a lot of bumps, not having to do a lot of holds, not taking huge risks. That's better for him health-wise. Now, that being said, he's going to get thrown around like a rag doll. I expect him to get suplexed at least 6 times.
It's a pretty good number.
In the match, and I expect these two to beat the absolute crap out of each other. But at the same time, Taker has committed to working more dates.
Or he wants to.
He wants to, and I think they're waiting to see how he comes out of Hell in a Cell to determine what they're going to do with him. By the way, whoever's decision it was to put a nearly 50-year-old man in Hell in a Cell, what the hell?
It was the 70-year-old man.
Vince, no. Just tell him no.
Like, this match will hide the weaknesses of The Undertaker. I just hope he can... Brock's going to bring the physicality. I just hope Taker can bring the physicality back. You know what I mean? I hope he can match the intensity of Brock Lesnar, because that will make a really, really good Hell in a Cell. Chairs will be swung. People will be going into the cell. I can see all this. I just hope Taker is up for this challenge.
I hope Taker is up for this challenge, too. I think he's been training for it. I think he's trying to get himself ready, and we'll see how he goes. But, again, terrified of Taker being in the cell. Now all that weight in the balance, who's going to win? This is hard, because both men need to win.
And both men don't need to lose. I think that's the better thing. Both men don't need to win. Both men just don't need to lose.
Because the next time we see Taker will be around WrestleMania, unless he works other dates
right
before the year is out, which is a possibility, but it all depends on how he's feeling. So ballpark.
I say both men show back up at the Rumble in some fashion.
I would agree with that, but ballpark, just to be fair to Taker, to give him time to recover, I say Mania is the next time conservatively that we see him. He could be okay coming out of the match, and he could want to be at the Rumble. They could want him at Survivor Series next month. It, you know, anything is possible with Taker, but it's ballpark his next commitment that we know that he generally takes is WrestleMania, and that's next year.
Right.
In Dallas. So you do not have a lot of opportunities to make the loss up to The Undertaker prior to sending him into WrestleMania. So when he comes back to feud with whoever he's going to feud with for that, you need to make him look really, really strong right out of the gate to make up for the loss against Brock. Because people will still remember it.
These two attractions, Brock Lesnar and Undertaker, this year hasn't been too kind for them. Brock hasn't had many clean wins. He wanted the Rumble. He beat Kofi and he beat Big Show, but those don't really matter. On major pay-per-view events, Brock didn't get the fall in at WrestleMania, so he didn't win, but he didn't lose. At Battleground, he didn't win, but he lost, but he didn't lose because it was Taker showed back up. So he had technically won, but it wasn't a win, real win. SummerSlam was the disputed finish. So Brock hasn't really had the strongest wins. Since losing the streak, Taker has beaten Bray Wyatt, which they don't talk about, and then did the shenanigans with Brock at SummerSlam. So both guys actually need this win too. They need a win, they can't lose, and you're in a Hell in a Cell where you can't do a disqualification ending, and we wanted the clean ending at SummerSlam, and now we don't have a clean ending because we wanted it at SummerSlam because you had time to rebuild after SummerSlam for either guy who lost. You're cutting it close to WrestleMania. Even though it's months away, but these guys are so limited, losing here doesn't put them strong enough into Mania unless one of them's coming back really quick for another match. And the only guy who can do that is Taker because they've already used Brock's dates.
Yeah, and so Brock, we know we're not seeing till at least Rumble. So you really, I don't know.
And Taker's never beaten Brock. That's the thing. Never ever beats Brock.
Clean.
SummerSlam doesn't really matter. Because it really wasn't a... It was a win, but it was... Again, it was a win, but it wasn't a win.
I want Taker to win this match just because I feel like with Brock, it's a little bit easier for him to make up a loss. Or he can just go out there and he can rip somebody apart or a series of somebody's and be okay afterwards. And everybody's like, you know, Brock's a beast. Because here's the thing. We all know Brock is a beast. We all know Brock can murder someone.
How you put Brock Lesnar in a Royal Rumble and just have him destroy people.
Yeah. So it's something of... Brock can probably take the loss a little bit better than Taker. Taker still has the stigma of the streak. And every loss he gets, because he wrestles so infrequently, hurts him that much more. So, I mean, realistically, honestly, I gotta go with my heart on this one. I can't say no to it. I have to pick Taker. I know that's not the logical choice. I know that's probably not what is going to happen and Brock will win. But I just feel like with everything that's going on with him in terms of his career, in terms of where he's at, you know, next month is 25 years. They're releasing a book, a magazine. You don't want to have all that going down and he loses to Brock Lesnar.
And I don't think we mentioned it on the show. It's actually 25 years to the date versus Survivor Series. To the date.
To the date.
To the date.
So that means something. And so it's like they're celebrating The Undertaker's 25 years. The last thing you want to do is hang a loss on him as you're doing that, because that just makes him look even weaker and more feeble than he is. Not that he's that weak and feeble, but he has issues.
I'm going Brock Lesnar. We gotta separate somewhere.
We gotta separate somewhere, but it's like I gotta go with my heart on this one. It's like, as much as I wanted it on the other one, for Bray, I know Roman's going to win. For here, it's like, it's too hard to pick it. And logic speaks to both sides. And at this point, I got to throw logic out and just go with my heart. And I want Taker to win.
I want Taker to win because he needs to look stronger going to WrestleMania. And Brock, as you said, can rebound. But Brock's winning. Magic 8-Ball agrees with me. which means we're gonna lose. Taker's gonna win, because this is the one thing we're disagreeing. This is the match that's gonna determine the pick-em between me and Lindsay. This match right here. God. Could be either really good or really bad for me.
Could be really good or really bad for me. I guess we'll have to see.
Well, that does it for Hell in a Cell, but we got more coming.
We do. Extra break as we go to our last break of the evening. And when we come back, we are going to be talking to author extraordinaire Kevin Sullivan as he talks to us all about his brand new book, Undertaker, 25 Years of Destruction. You don't want to miss it. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back. What you need. Deliverance is evidence. There's more than what you say. Pain is there the moment that you wake up from your dreams. Oh, I know you can't hide. Oh, when you look inside yourself, you gotta cross that line.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWmania.com. Again, the web address is PWmania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWmania.com.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client Brock Lesnar said, suplex city, bitch.
From the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moment.
You will get your rematch. Put that man down. Your actions have consequences. And you know what? You're out of here. You're suspended. You know what? You're suspended indefinitely. Get out of my building now. Now get out.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh? Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing. It's not an East Coast thing. It's a worldwide thing. And I'm not gonna sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axel Mania is running wild in Los Angeles! Bow wow wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axel Mania is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MVG1211.
This is your Pope, D'Angelo De Niro, and I'm going to make something perfectly clear to my congregation. When Pope is done pimp-slapping all of his opponents in the ring, and Pope likes to sit down and relax, he goes to youtube.com/MVG1211.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesday today.
This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins, and you are listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. We are super excited because, as promised, joining us right now is the author of many WWE books, including the WWE Encyclopedia, and now the author of the brand new 25 Years of Destruction, Undertaker. Please welcome to the show, Kevin Sullivan. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Lindsay. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm super excited to be talking to you. We've gotten a chance to preview the new book, and it's absolutely spectacular.
Thank you.
So, I have to ask you this, because we looked at your Twitter and your website, and, well, I figured I'd give you an opportunity to gloat, because, you know, you were the man that predicted the Shield would reunite in 2015, and after last night, you got it right.
Yeah, does that count? I don't know if it counts, though.
Well, Seth Rollins says it doesn't count, but we say it counts, because he said it wasn't the Shield, but we all know it was the Shield.
Hey, I'll take the credit.
So, as I said in the intro, you're the author of the brand new, can we call it a commemorative book for The Undertaker, or is it just a standard book?
Yeah, it really is a commemorative book. You know, it chronicles his entire career from Survivor Series 1990 all the way up through WrestleMania 31. So, you know, as the title suggests, it has all 25 years and everything in between. So, yeah, let's call it a commemorative book.
All right. You know, what was the thought process behind it? I mean, did you kind of come up with the idea, or did WWE come to you with it, or kind of how did all this get started?
Yeah, no, WWE came to me. Geez, I can't even remember when. The whole process probably took about 8 months. So it was a really quick turnaround. But yeah, they came to me. I have a good relationship, as you said earlier. I've probably done 10 or 12 books with them. So we stay in contact quite a bit. You know, we've become friendly to the point where we're just talking about the Mets, you know, me and the book guys over there. So when this one came up, they gave me a call, and of course I jumped at it.
Oh, who wouldn't? Was it kind of a daunting task to take on his career, or were you excited for it? Or
oh yeah, definitely excited. Daunting, yes and no. You know, I'm a bit of a pack rat, which kind of helps me in this regard. So my past, I worked with WWE.com. I started there in August of '98, the day after SummerSlam.
Wow.
And I worked through January of 2008. So I was there for 10 years, and you know how it is on WWE.com. Everything's a list or a look back at this, look back at that. So I still had a lot of my old notebooks with, you know, Taker's best opponents and his best matches and all that other stuff. So it wasn't incredibly daunting, even though it spans 25 years, because I did have that stuff that I had to, that I got to look back on. So that was good. And then, of course, the network is just so helpful for projects like this. It's helpful, and it's a bit of a detriment, I'd say, because, you know, I go and I'm ready to research SummerSlam 94, and I end up watching, you know, Bash at the Beach 2000 or something like that.
It's distracting. You tangent off from what you want to do, and it's like, oh, that looks more interesting. That looks appealing.
Yeah,
let's watch that.
Vader versus British Bulldog from 93 for some reason, when I'm supposed to be watching Taker. But yeah, those two things really help a lot.
It gets you in the mood for, you know, what you're supposed to be doing. That can be the excuse, right?
Exactly. I love watching. I couldn't find them. I shouldn't say, but I watched them on YouTube instead. Remember those mini movies that WCW did where they were like on the beach?
Yeah.
Those are great.
And they haven't put them up yet? Or they have put them up.
They may have been up there, but, you know, I was like, oh, I'm just going to find them on YouTube. I know where they are.
I've got them. I'm good. So, kind of tangenting back to the book, one topic that you kind of talked about was the very delicate subject for some people, being the Undertaker streak at WrestleMania 30. You know, what was your reaction to the ending of the streak?
I mean, I probably shouldn't say this out loud, but I was fine with it. You know, what they ended up doing, at the end of the day, you have to remember that it's a business and they're trying to make money. And so here we are a year and a half later and they're still making money off of that one loss. Whereas, you know, all the way through this coming Sunday when they fight in Hell in a Cell, they're still making money off of that loss. So if Taker beat Brock Lesnar and just kept going, and then fought Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania 31, they wouldn't make a dime off of that loss this coming Sunday.
Right.
So I understand. I'm a purist, too, and I get I love records, and I love, you know, this guy's held the title five times, this guy's held it for this long. Those types of things, records and stats, but, you know, you're really in it to make money, and that's how you're going to make the most money out of it.
That's a fair assessment. So speaking of Hell in a Cell and The Undertaker and Brock Lesnar, because, you know, they're meeting for the third and final time in the last 18 months, who would you like to see come out on top?
Again, I probably shouldn't be saying this as the author of the Undertaker book, but I don't see any reason why Undertaker should win. Again, getting back to the point of this is a business, you know, you're going to need Brock Lesnar for several more years to be strong. And if he loses to Undertaker again, it just doesn't, it softens him quite a bit. Whereas I believe Undertaker could lose and his legacy doesn't get tarnished in the least bit.
Say, in a business sense, do you think that the finish at SummerSlam worked, or were you kind of jilted by it, or?
Yeah. I think it worked because it got you to where we are today.
It
was controversial. I thought when trying to jog my memory about SummerSlam a little bit, I thought it was a little funky next to the WWE Championship finish where I think Jon Stewart ran in.
Mm-hmm.
So normally I don't like those two type of controversial finishes next to each other or even on the same card. So that would be my only critique, I would say. But, I mean, it worked because you're getting a Hell in a Cell out of it. If you don't do that, you're not going to get Hell in a Cell out of it.
That's very true, and should be an interesting match.
Yeah, I mean, Hell in a Cell isn't what it was years ago, obviously. You're not going to see anybody getting flown off the cage like Mick Foley.
I hope not.
But at the same time, if anyone could tell a good story, I think back to like the was it WrestleMania 28 Undertaker versus Triple H Hell in a Cell. That was one of the best stories I've seen in a ring ever told.
Yeah.
And they didn't go on the cage. They didn't go through the cage. They didn't bleed. So if anyone could tell a good story on Sunday, I think it's those two guys.
I would agree with that completely. But speaking of Sunday, there's another Cell match because it's Hell in a Cell, so there have to be two. And the other one is Roman Reigns versus Bray Wyatt. And Bray has been kind of compared to The Undertaker, and he's been suggested as this generation's Undertaker. How do you feel about that? Do you agree with that, or do you think he's his own person because he's similar but different?
It's almost not fair to Bray Wyatt to do that. I see the similarities, obviously. There isn't that supernatural that Undertaker had. I think that's the biggest disconnect when you look at Bray Wyatt and Undertaker. So, like, Undertaker can make lightning come from the ceiling, whereas...
Right.
Bray Wyatt can't. So I guess within the narrative of the stories, that's where they're different. But, you know, poor Bray Wyatt, every time he walks into an arena, people are thinking this. It's just going to be a letdown because no one's going to have the same career Undertaker had.
Right.
But, you know, his promos I love, obviously. And he has a way of grabbing you and making you pay attention to him, much like Undertaker. So I can see that comparison.
Do you feel, because I have my own personal opinions on it, and I probably shouldn't voice them, but do you feel that his match with Taker was what it should have been? Do you think there should have been more to it, or did they do it right?
The 31, WrestleMania 31?
Yeah, WrestleMania 31.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have any problems with it. It was good to see Taker. It looked like he was in really good shape as compared to the last time we saw him. So you could tell he was training for it. In my opinion, the right person won. I know everyone says, oh, well, John Cena beat Bray Wyatt, everyone Bray Wyatt. Maybe some people thought the same thing with Undertaker. But in that instance, Undertaker, in my opinion, needs to get a win at WrestleMania back. If, again, doing business, you want to use Undertaker moving forward. So if you want to use him at this Sunday, or if you want to use him at WrestleMania 32, you can't have him coming off of two WrestleMania losses, in my opinion.
This is true. And speaking of WrestleMania 32, who do you think he's going to face this year, if he faces anybody?
Geez. I think he will. I would like to see, I just think it'd be fitting to see Kane and maybe a kind of, they both go off into the sunset afterward. Just because of all that they've been through together. I think it's unfair given what Taker's been through to expect another like match that he had with Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 25. And it's Undertaker seems to push himself to have those types of matches. I'm of the belief that he could probably just do his go out there, have the big entrance, do old school, do Tombstone and whatnot, and still excite the crowd. So I'd rather not see him flipping over the top ropes and whatnot. I'd watch him versus Kane and just kind of put a bow on that storyline.
Yeah, it feels like it needs some closure because they had that amazing feud when Kane first debuted, obviously, and they used Taker as the catalyst to bring Kane into the company, and they've kind of woven this story through their careers where they've gone apart, they've come back together, and, you know, as enemies, as brothers, as friends. So I think it would be cool to see them sort of, as you said, tie a bow on it and wrap that up and bring closure to that story once and for all.
Yeah, and let them do it together at the same time. Maybe some sort of show of respect at the end, and then they walk away. Although, Kane, I mean, he's showing no signs of walking away.
And I was going to say,
he
seems to be breathing new life into himself. You know, he reinvented himself as corporate Kane this either last year or a couple of years ago now, and he's going this Sunday for the WWE Championship against Seth Rollins. What do you think his chances of winning the title are?
I mean, I would guess zero, but I'm oftentimes wrong. It seems like Taker versus Lesnar's the draw, obviously. And this kind of has the feel of a, let's put a WWE Championship match on the card, get Seth Rollins to Survivor Series, that type of thing. But that doesn't mean the story hasn't been entertaining. And Corporate Kane himself, as he's turning into that, I don't want to say goofy, but goofy character, it's just been hilarious.
I was going to say, have you been enjoying Split Personality Kane, as we like to call him?
I have. When he first came out, he cracked me up. I think I tweeted that this man deserves a WWE Network show.
He does.
Just him walking through the office with his mug.
Nothing made me happier, and this is going to sound so silly, than when they put that mug on WWE Shop.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah, they put the mug up because I think there was a demand for it, or maybe they planned it. I don't know. But yeah, he showed up on TV with that mug, and it's like, oh, that's awesome.
I'm going there now. Oh, there it is. Let's see, how much is this thing? $9.99. That's a steal.
Everything's going to be $9.99 from now on.
I love it.
So, oh, man. So, kind of to segue back to the book and also do a shameless plug for our very dear friend Brian Shields, who's a colleague of yours over there.
Yeah, he's great. Love Brian.
Got to mention
him. We worked on the encyclopedia together, the first two.
Yes. Yes, and also kind of tying it all together with Seth Rollins. Do you think that he's going to have the chance, not, you know, the guarantee, but the chance to have his career become one of the greatest of all time?
Undertaker or Seth Rollins?
Seth Rollins, sorry.
Oh, yeah, Seth Rollins, I mean, how can you say the greatest of all time, but he's going to be right up there. I forget who it was, somebody that we all probably respect greatly. I think it was like Shawn Michaels or somebody said he was the best he's ever seen.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this was a couple weeks ago. I forget who said it. And that, when it comes from somebody like that, and I should know who it is, it's eye-opening, you know. So, yeah, certainly. And when he becomes a babyface, forget it. You know, we're only seeing half of his offense or half of what he could do. Once he becomes a babyface, I think he's going to be huge.
Oh, yeah, I would agree with that. And they're kind of slowly maybe creeping to that a little bit because he's been an absolutely phenomenal heel and entertaining as all get out, and he puts in some of the best matches I've ever seen, especially when he's in the likes. Sorry, go ahead.
I think we're starting to see little bits of it, especially on the pay-per-views. It seems like he's really doing a little babyface on the pay-per-views, it really feels like.
He is. So should be interesting to see how he progresses. And speaking of progression, Roman Reigns, you know, they started out in the Shield together, and last night they reunited, as you once again predicted, to just reemphasize that for everybody.
Well, also to reemphasize that I absolutely know nothing is, you know, if you asked me when they debuted, I would have said Dean Ambrose for sure will be the first one to win the WWE Championship, which obviously that hasn't happened.
Sadly, no, it hasn't, which he'll get there. I think he'll get there.
I think he will. Yeah, I do.
I mean, it's just he...
Could be sooner than later.
I hope so. I really do. I think he's got that unique mix that he's just, there's something about him. He's got that it that everybody talks about, that he just, mm-hmm. there's something about him that just attracts you to him. And he's really something special.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. He's one of a kind. Everyone says, and it's true, it's that mix of like Brian Pillman, Roddy Piper, that you can't help but watch them.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And they're all three of the Shield, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, and Dean Ambrose, Bray Wyatt as well, and the Wyatt family, they're all a product of NXT. And, you know, everybody's been giving high praise, including us, you know, my producer and I, about Sasha Banks and Bayley with their last two matches in NXT. You know, what was your takeaway from their recent encounters? And
you can't have a bad word about them, obviously. The only criticism I've heard is Bayley going after Izzy, or not Bayley, Sasha going after Izzy, the little Bayley fan.
Oh, yeah.
Making her cry. But, you know, if you're a good heel, you're making kids cry. So kudos to her.
I was going to say that was a whole next level heel thing to make a little girl cry.
Yeah, right?
It's like she just went there for it. And it was, I felt bad for Izzy. I really did. It's like, oh, poor little thing. But it's like, go Sasha, go.
Yeah, go Sasha, go. And you know what? Izzy is already forgotten about it. Or she's fine. She's good. Kids cry. You know,
she's good. They made it up. They made up. So I think they're okay. But
yeah, she's fine. And Bayley, I really like what I'm seeing from Bayley. She has the chance to be a difference maker, I think, on the main roster. Just the way like the Izzy's and everybody look up to her. It's not like Sasha obviously is tremendous in the ring, but the way that you can tell that fans look up to Bayley, it's a different level, I think.
Yeah, there's been, at least from our point of view, you know, and when I say our, I mean a producer and I, that we look at Bayley and we see her that she could have the potential to be John Cena level star, you know, one of their next real top star in terms of just like ability, in terms of popularity. You know, she's just this kind of almost breath of fresh air in terms of a character where you can't dislike her. You know, it's, I think Kevin Owens said she has this energy to her that just makes you smile. And that's true. It's like,
so
you can't
true.
Hate Bayley. You just can't. Well, I'm sure, like I'm sure people do.
Well, yeah, maybe the other divas. I don't know. But, you know, I think WWE will have to just take a leap of faith in her. It's not very often that they, or at all, that they'll promote a diva or push a diva to a John Cena level. You know, maybe Wendy Richter back in the day, they tried to do her alongside Hogan for a couple months. So, yeah, they're going to really have to maybe come out of their comfort zone a little to push her that much.
I was going to say, do you think that, you know, especially with Sasha and Bayley and all the women that are coming up now from NXT and the Divas Revolution that's happening, do you think that the sky's the limit, especially after Bayley and Sasha main evented NXT, or do you think they're going to have more difficulty on the main roster doing what they're doing down in NXT?
No, I think it's really, we're at the beginning of it, and I think they're still kind of, when I say they, I think WWE, they're still trying to feel themselves out as it relates to how to push these girls. What we do know is that they are willing to, and they're committed to it. Once we get maybe 4, 5, 6 months down the road, I think we're going to see the whole division completely different than we're looking at it right now.
Say, I know I'm looking forward to Bayley versus Alexa. That should be a lot of fun. Those two
agreed.
Those two different types of personalities. But
yeah.
Do you have any other favorites that you'd like to watch or that you enjoy or that you see could be breakouts?
In NXT, I love, I'm sorry to cut you off, but I love him
no.
so much. Enzo just cracks me up.
Oh my God, Enzo.
Character. And that's what you need, you know, like just get him in an arena and have all of them screaming alongside him. It just gets the whole place. It kind of sets the tone. He almost set the tone for like Brooklyn felt like.
Oh, Brooklyn,
you know,
Brooklyn
he came
set
out.
The bar.
Yeah, really did. Yeah, so I love Enzo. Bayley, we talked about. Finn, who doesn't, obviously. Tyler Breeze, apparently, the rumors are he's coming up soon. He's one of my favorites.
Say, Tyler, I really kind of can't wait to see Tyler on the main roster. I want him and Ziggler to do something. I don't know what yet, but I feel like those two need to come together because
mm-hmm.
I feel like
I
they could make
that.
Some magic.
Yeah, I could see that. He has a lot of what concerns me is he kind of has the Miz moneymaker character going, whereas you don't want to have two of those.
Right.
And I think the Miz does it so well. There's a lot of similarities there, which either you keep them as far away as possible or you just have them go at it.
They duke it out over the character. No.
Someone's going to lose a character.
Somebody's going to lose a character out of this. No. No. Just kidding.
And the Miz won rights to the Miz when he beat Mizdow.
He did.
So that would stink for him to lose it.
It would. It really would. That'd be awful. It's like he gets it back and he's all excited and then he loses it to Tyler Breeze.
Yeah.
That would be a shame. But, well,
if
I know...
anyone can rebound Miz.
This is true. I mean, you look at Miz's career and you look where he started and you look where he is now and he has figured out how to evolve and change and morph into different things and different personalities. And so, like you say, if anybody can do it, it's Miz.
And you know what? Like, he is a legitimate WWE Hall of Famer. With all he's done in his career and the length he's had, all the different championships, what he does from a marketing side. I mean, he's a no-brainer Hall of Famer in my mind.
Oh, yeah. No, I was just going to say, I would love to see them do more with him and maybe bring him back into the title picture because I think he adds something to it that's going to be missing soon, you know, or is missing now, or it's like Rollins is doing a really good job, but when Rollins turns face, it feels like there's not that cocky individual there to sort of take that place, and Miz does that so well.
He does, yeah, and that's one of the good things, I think, is like the WWE creative. They do a good job of, for lack of a better term, reheating somebody. So I think if they need Miz, they won't have any problem just inserting him back in there.
So could we see you write potentially a Miz book in the future documenting his career?
I would sign me up now. I would love that. I was a big Real World fan back in the day. So that's when I first obviously found out about Miz. And then once they signed him, it got to the point where the writing team told me to stop calling them. So I was like, okay, you got to use the Miz for this. You got to use the Miz for that. I forget if they were calling the Miz back then, but they're like, okay, we get it. You like him. So then I tried to get him to start doing stuff with us at WWE.com. He did a couple columns, but he was still training. Was he in Ohio at the time, maybe? So the timing, he just didn't have the time to do it. It didn't work out.
Nuts.
Yeah, I'm a big Miz fan. Miz, he's one of my all-time favorites. Him, Christian, that was good. Too Cool.
Oh, I'll write a Too Cool book.
Yeah.
Too Cool would actually be an interesting book to read to see how that all came together and how that worked and all that kind of thing. So,
well, I actually haven't. I'm going through my drawers. I have a magazine that actually details that. Not that you can see my magazine here on radio, right? Okay, Raw Magazine, November 2000, actually details how they came together.
Go ahead.
China on the cover.
Okay, I might actually have that somewhere.
Yeah, take a look at that. There's your, I pushed for that one as well.
Awesome. I appreciate that. I'll have to look that up and see, but still would love to see a book because you are an amazing writer. You did a wonderful job on the Undertaker book. I know you got to go. So everybody remember, go get the brand new 25 Years of Destruction available this Tuesday, October 27th at all your local bookstores, WWE.com and online everywhere. So Kevin, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Once again, a huge thanks to Kevin Sullivan for joining us. Remember, everybody, October 27th, go get it. 25 Years of Destruction. We've gotten a chance to preview it, and it is absolutely amazing. So you're going to want to get your own copy before they disappear. But I think that does it for us.
I say that does it for us here. Hopefully everyone's enjoyed this show. We told you last week this would be an extended edition of the show, and well, you got four segments this week. Four segments.
Because we're awesome like that.
We are awesome like that. But yeah, time for plugs. The plugs start with Saturday Night Midnight. This is another edition of CB Radio. The weird, the wacky, the unusual. You can follow the show on Twitter at CB Radio Live. Facebook.com/CB Radio Live. CBRadioLive.com. #BlameRob. Yeah, that covers it all. Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio, 11 p.m. Eastern, covering WWE Hell in a Cell. Monday night, it's the Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. We'll recap everything that happens on the Fallout edition of Monday Night Raw. A new era begins. And we'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of The Rack right here on Wild Talk Radio Network at 10 p.m. Eastern. Follow the show on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at Rack Radio Show. Check out the website, rackradioshow.com. Get the show on iTunes. Search out Rack Radio Show or The Rack. Get us on Stitcher as well, Rack Radio Show. Get us on TuneIn, Wild Talk Radio Network, at the network on iTunes and Stitcher, Wild Talk Radio Network. I think that covers all the plugs there.
Well, almost, because you can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWRD, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at Behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitter. And speaking of checking things out, don't forget to check out our very fine sponsors, PWMania.com, TNAsylum.net, and Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, YouTube.com/MBG1211. But for Rock and Kevin Sullivan, I'm Lindsay. You've been listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll see you next week. Bye!